All right, before we get into this Dateline, Kate, I'm suddenly worried if I've already told you this.
No.
Did I tell you about the guy who wore socks on his hands? Did I tell you about this guy?
Nope.
Okay. There was an FF, of course. And I'm watching it, and this poor lady got raped and murdered. Guy breaks into the house, and in order to prevent fingerprints, like he's being smart, Kate, takes his shoes off, takes his socks off, puts his socks on his hands to break into this house. So they didn't find any fingerprints, but you know what they did find?
Toe prints.
Toe prints!
What an idiot.
But he never realized his feet could leave the very same prints as his fingers.
So he would have been as well off to leave the socks on his feet and put another pair on his hands.
Oh, that's pretty dumb. That's the sad thing is that the crime that he committed is pretty awful. And to imagine him doing it barefoot with socks on his hands.
I'm Lester Holt.
All right, we got another From the Vault for you here.
From the Vault.
We're going to do a little different because today we got a guest. His name is McClizu.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
McClizu and I go way back. So, Kateline McClizu, McClizu, Kateline.
Kateline, nice to meet you.
Hi, McClizu. Welcome to the show.
Awesome. Well, let's hop into this, baby. Now, we chose this for a very specific reason. It is about the death of a firefighter. And McClizu, what's your day job?
I work for a fire department.
That's right. Yeah. You're a hero.
Some call me that.
So you have some special insight into this, so that's why we picked this one, and I'm glad we did, because there's some great stuff in here.
Mystery in Mustang. Here's Andrea Canning.
Aired August 2nd, 2013. We're going way back. In Mustang, Oklahoma, firefighter Keith Bryan reconciles with his wife, Becky. Then he is shot in his own home and dies a few hours later at a nearby hospital. So right off the top, what'd you think of this episode?
I like this one. This one was funny.
It was. It was pretty funny, wasn't it?
It was. I wish someone hadn't died in order for there to be some jokes, but yep. I was laughing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm tempted to ask what the funniest one was, but I guess we'll just let it unfold. But nope, I lied. I gotta say it right now. I thought this was Mustang America.
I'm in Mustang America.
What the
You know, the city, the state of Mustang.
Well, who would do that?
Even without knowing I'm watching a Dateline app, I hear this 911 call go. I'm thinking, whoever was on the other end of this line pulled that trigger.
Right. Or hired someone to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when she says, I'm in Mustang America, who would do that?
Yep.
That really paints a picture here.
McClizu, what'd you think of this episode?
Classic Dateline episode. A lot of twists and turns. A lot of whodunit. A lot of evidence. A lot of detective work.
Well, Kateline and I are experts, so maybe that's where this has come from. But when you say a whodunit, surely you're being sarcastic that you knew who did this from the jump.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Absolutely knew who did it from the jump. Yeah.
Okay, so this chief, he was at the Oklahoma City body.
He was one of the first
responders.
Was he a hero in your eyes?
Oh, I think so.
I'm so confused. So this is Mustang, Oklahoma, but their county is called Canadian County. Did you see that Canadian part?
Yes, when she was in her mugshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the hell's up with that, but it's chill night in Mustang, Oklahoma. Chief Bryan and his wife, Becky, are settled in for the night. They're watching a movie. Now, I love, not only do they say the name of the movie.
Carrie.
Carrie. Have you seen it?
Yes.
McClizu has seen it. Kateline, seen it?
I have seen Carrie.
They even paid for like a Getty image from like a still from the movie. Love it.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Look, it's not too late. You can stay here with me. I don't want to stay with you, Mommy.
She's saying that someone came into the house and shot her husband. But she says that it's a 25-year-old male mm-hmm. who is short.
But the guy, this is what he said, he's actually pretty nice. I knew he wasn't going to hurt me. Because he said, I'm sorry, ma'am, but he should have hired me.
Now, this raises all sorts of flags. But we're led to believe that Keith Bryan did not hire somebody. And now they're here disgruntled. And they're wanting to kill him. Now, has anybody ever killed a boss of yours because they were not hired onto the fire team?
The fire team?
Yeah.
No. I've never heard it called a fire team before, but that's good. If they're not hired onto the fire team, they usually just try again.
Yeah.
It's a very competitive process to get on the fire department. So usually you don't make it the first time through. I was lucky enough to make it my first time through. 800 people that applied, and I was one of 18. So I got super lucky my first time, but it's not unusual to not get hired the first time.
Yeah. Dude, that's what I was thinking when I saw that. I was like, because I remember when you were in the process of getting hired.
Yeah.
as a firefighter. And it was a pain in the ass. You had to go through, it was stressful. It was like you're trying to make like a sports team.
It takes a long time. I think from the time I took the test to the time I graduated the academy, it was almost 12 months.
Because it's so competitive, there are people that were probably disgruntled that they didn't get the job.
Oh, yeah. I knew guys that didn't get on and they were a little upset, but
right.
Not now, enough to go shoot the fire chief. He had nothing to do with it.
That's what I was going to say. Like, yeah. I'm sure the chief has to sign something, but is the fire chief picking these people to get hired?
No, it's a, I mean, it, all these are, all this, all your scores are based on your tests that you take. So if you fail a test, it wasn't the chief that screwed you. You just didn't pass. There's rules to the interview. There's scoring. It's not a very subjective process. There's a lot of written down rules and things you have to say and things you have to do in order to get on.
What'd you think of AC in this app? I thought she was a little subdued.
I actually really liked her in this episode, and I want to give a shout out to AC for wearing those low-rise jeans. I mean, this episode aired in 2013, so that's when they were still being worn. I love low-rise jeans.
You do?
And this had me feeling so nostalgic for 10 years ago. It's the last time I felt relevant and cool. High-waisted jeans can get f***ed.
Nah, I'm all about them.
They cut into the stomach. They hurt so bad, and they make asses look long and flat.
Okay, nah. But what's wrong with that? A long butt, ain't nothing wrong with a long butt. I'm pro long butt.
Why would you be pro long flat butt?
I didn't say I'm pro the flat part. The long part I'm okay with. Low-rise jeans are terrible. I mean, she's pulling them off, but I do not care for them, and I'm dreading those coming back. You can't wait.
Oh, I can't wait. Ugh. This high-rise bullshit that I've been having to wear for the last couple of years, it hurts my intestines. I can't even sit.
All right, well, I can't argue with that. And also, the biggest point of this is I haven't worn jeans in years. I'm a joggers guy. I'm not allowed to have an opinion on women's jeans whatsoever.
Fine, but Kurt, what? You yourself have a rather large, round butt. Your butt is so big that you can set drinks on it.
What?
And I'm shocked that you think that the long butt is okay when you have an example of a butt that goes out, not down.
Well, look, I didn't expect it to get this real. I mean, I hear you. I'm telling you, growing up, when people were sagging pants, when sagging was in, okay.
Terrible.
I couldn't sag. Worth a damn.
You couldn't. You'd moon the whole neighborhood.
I would. It'd just be my butt sticking out. Yeah. All right, well, AC is here in her low-rise jeans, pulling them off, looking great.
He shoots her husband, Keith, and then he speeds off in a tiny pickup truck.
As she would call it, itty-bitty.
Itty-bitty, teensy-weensy.
He's in a little itty-bitty pickup.
So immediately, we're suspicious,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Big time. You're suspicious the second this lady opens her mouth in this 911 call, right? I mean, like, who would dare break her threshold of happiness and safety in Mustang America?
Right.
It's absurd.
I'm in Mustang America.
And so the 911 call, I got some extra info. They did this on a show called Murder Calls, which is an HBO. Sucks ass. You want to talk about unnecessary reenactments? Woo-wee. Okay? And they're giving dialogue to each and every one of these actors.
Nice serve.
Well, thanks.
I'm Keith.
Oh, I know.
You know, huh? What's your name?
I'm Becky.
No. So I'm with you there. So they did this case, and they played more of the 911 call, okay? She asked for Detective Cammy by name.
Is Cammy coming?
Cammy,
the detective. Cammy.
Isn't that weird?
Well, her husband Keith was a fireman.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's sitting there listing off names, and you could tell that the 911 op is not from there or does not know everybody because he is acting like he's talking to a wizard. He's kind of like, no, well, how do you know who Davis is? Actually, he is there. He is coming. Davis is on the way.
Is Officer Davis coming?
Actually, yes, he is.
Anyway, but that's all I got from that episode. And real talk, I was watching it before we recorded. My ass fell asleep. That's how boring that episode was.
Of Murder Calls?
There might be extra info in there that I don't know about. That's just for the picking.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatevs.
We find out early on, Becky is a real estate agent.
Yes.
Red flag. Huge red flag.
You're coming for real estate agents, okay.
Sorry for all the real estate agents out there. It's not that I dislike you. It's just that sometimes you're just kind of out for yourself.
To get that commish.
Oh, yeah. The other question that the friend, she said that Becky made the comment, and this is where the red flag of the realtor comes out, where she says, man, that house is going to be tough to sell with him dying in it. In the hospital.
Yeah. So her husband is taking his last breaths. She's thinking about dick pics and selling the house once she gets rid of all her dead husband's old shit.
Realtors, ABC, always be closing.
Who do you think are worse, house flippers or realtors?
House flippers usually have to do some sort of work.
Okay, you hear that, Kate? He's pro house flippers.
Sorry, Kate.
Man, get fucked.
So we've got a near hysterical wife. We got a husband who's dying. He goes to the hospital and he does eventually die. He does not make it. Now, Detective Cammy comes to the scene to talk to Becky. Becky is still at the house. She did not ask to go in the ambulance with her husband.
Nope.
Which was against the law, against their protocol, so it wouldn't have happened. But let's just point out that she didn't ask, okay? And when Detective Cammy comes over to talk to her, Becky's got her feet up on the patio and she's smoking a cigarette, like just gabbing as if this is a regular old Tuesday.
Yeah, showing no emotion, just chilling.
Yeah. Becky's attitude post murder is some wild, wild red flag stuff.
And that was also echoed by her friends who did see her later at the hospital. She was barely at her husband's bedside. She was outside smoking cigs and chatting with her girls the whole time.
I read an article about the trial, and the friends said that on the way to the hospital, Becky asked if she'd ever loved somebody so much that she would do something like that for them. Like, would you ever kill someone you love for someone else that you love? That's what Becky presented as a question. And I get why Dateline didn't talk about that, because that's not the best thing she talked about. Do you know what she talked about, Kate, in the lobby of the hospital while her husband is in the ER?
Yeah, she talked about how just that morning she'd had sex with some 29-year-old guy.
Yeah, and had a picture of his dong on her phone.
Class.
My God, you're at the hospital where your husband's dying. Don't talk about the dick pic you scored that morning.
Yeah.
Right?
She's bragging about it. And her friends are like, cool, Becky.
Yeah. So she's super chill, chatting everybody up. They take her down to the station, and they're interviewing her. And right off the bat, she leads with, I use a miserable prick to me for 31 years.
Was it prick? It was bleeped out. I wanted to...
Oh, well, you're right. It was bleeped. I guess prick? I just guessed.
Was it dick? Was it asshole?
Prick.
But I don't think they would bleep. Prick? Is that a...
Sure, they'd bleep prick. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
But you know what they don't bleep? Slut.
Nope.
Did you feel like the evidence was overwhelming against Becky?
If you wanted to convict her of being a slut, greedy slut, yeah. Not a murderer.
So Becky's brother is sticking by her, even though she's clearly shady as hell. But his explanation is that, yeah, she's a greedy slut, but she's not a killer.
Yeah, which is a hilarious spin on like the usual defense tactic. That's what we hear all the time is like, yeah, sure, she sleeps around, but she's not a murderer. But I did not see it coming when they show this brother. And he says it twice. He doubles down on the slut.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, you're not doing the work you think you are, my man.
And AC's right? Like, okay.
Okay. Everybody's getting a little suspicious of Becky because she's certainly not acting like a grieving wife. Now, and we've talked about this before. Nobody knows how to properly grieve. Like, everybody does it differently, right?
Yeah. Some people cry so hard to the point that they can't even breathe. And other people chain smoke and take their tops off.
Okay. Okay. Here we go.
So when Becky is in the police interrogation, she takes off her tube top.
Yep.
Without being asked. Just standing there with her nips out.
Yep.
So she's just sitting there in the room topless, no bra. And the cops are like, you have to take it off. And yeah. She's just whoop over her head.
Wait, don't take it off.
I'm going to
put my
shirt on my. I should have clarified. Just wait till we finish.
And she explains that was what she was wearing earlier when Keith was shot. They were watching TV and she was on the couch wearing nothing but her tube top and underwear.
Right.
Okay.
There's no like camera on this, her taking her top off, but there is audio. And she had plenty of time to stop taking her top off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like both the guy and the girl cops are in there going, no, stop. And she just whips it off. It's crazy.
I think
crazy.
She was doing it for the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because this woman is clearly dick crazy.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, a man's in the room. Top's coming off.
Yeah, absolutely. She did that on purpose. And you're right. I don't know what it is, but she is pretty dick crazy. And I feel like it's something that happened. Like they got married when they were 19.
Yeah.
Okay. So they've been together forever. Something's happened in the last few years though, where Becky wants to knock them boots.
She wants to sow her wild oats because she didn't get a chance when she was younger.
Yeah, absolutely. So she has been doing that. She's been sleeping with this 29-year-old. Then this other guy that she propositioned at a convention, and the guy was saying on trial, like, he was really nervous because his fiance was sitting next to him. And there's this woman going, hey, come up to my hotel room so we can...
They dig deeper, too, into her phone, and they find another guy in there labeled Becky's Prodigy, which she claims is a younger woman who's trying to be a real estate agent, and she's mentoring her.
Becky Prodigy lives in Hugo, Oklahoma.
So she's a customer?
Yes. She's a realtor broker.
But it's actually just this dude that she had an affair with. And then...
Yeah.
I mean, so... Okay, mm-hmm. Keith and Becky Bryan. To everyone else in the town, though, they had this great marriage. So much so that they counseled other couples at their church. Right away, red flag.
Right.
They briefly separated, but they got back together because apparently he put in the work and wooed her back mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. gifts or whatever. So yeah. No, that's not real. That's not real. But then she goes and does this, and we learn that she's been with all these other men. And yeah, so of course it makes sense that she would counsel other married couples at a church, you know, a real pillar of the community, solid marriage, great morals. It's a lie, Kurt. It's always smoke and mirrors with these types.
Yep.
I want to be clear, though. There is nothing wrong with being a hoe.
Right, absolutely.
Just don't claim to not be a hoe and act like you can guide people down this righteous Christian path.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree 1,000%. I mean, I'm with you. I think the same damn thing. It's crazy suspicious.
Yeah.
Just
be a hoe.
Yeah.
Was she wearing a bra?
No.
You didn't even ask her for the top? She just whipped it off?
That's right.
They found the murder weapon and ammo and a blanket with a hole in it and a glove in the dryer at Becky's house. And the gun was registered to Becky, of course.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. there was mm-hmm. a little mm-hmm. bit of gunshot residue on her hand.
Yeah. Becky is a world-class dum-dum for what she thinks will buy her time. She's got a number of lies in this episode that bury her instantly. One is she hid the murder weapon in the dryer of her home. Real dumb. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Real dumb. And then also real stupid. Like, she thought it'd be smart to go, oh, well, maybe it was some kid who wanted to be a fireman, but you know, my husband didn't hire him 4 years ago. So that's why he came. That right there narrows the field down where, like they even talk about in the episode, it's really fucking hard to become a firefighter. And it's like people want to do it super bad. So like, it's very easy to find out the people that didn't make the cut every year.
Right.
Right? And it would be literally a handful of people. So she's already giving them a suspect pool that doesn't exist. Already, she's busted with that lie right there.
I liked that the current deputy fire chief was interviewed about this to give a little insight. Mm-hmm. And I would just like to say that he's a total babe. I am a sucker for old firemen with mustaches, and not to be confused with the younger firemen they interviewed who had like the old-timey handlebar mustache.
The real Raleigh fingers going on.
Yeah, that guy can't do anything else but be a fireman with that mustache.
Right, because you have, what's the rule?
I can't grow facial hair.
You can't have a beard?
No, because that interferes with the seal of your mask that you have to wear when you go into a fire.
But why are they allowed to have a mustache?
Because it's above your... The seal of the mask goes around the edge of your face.
Oh!
You can grow a mustache. Sometimes you have those handlebar mustaches that go down, but you'll never see them, like, go down below their chin. They're always stop here.
Oh.
Or they'll grow them east and west and curl the ends. Now it's a big thing with mustache combs and mustache wax.
Yeah, like bespoke cocktails and stuff.
Yeah, IPAs.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked good, though. I liked him. He and his wife were good friends with Keith and Becky because of, you know, all the firefighters were friends. And Becky would come in and bring the cookies and the meals or whatever. They were just this big, happy family. I will say this. I got to say this about the interrogation. So that started as a routine thing of let's talk to the spouse. But then when she left, it was like, well, we got ourselves a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
They start looking closer. The cops start to hear from Becky's friends and family about her...
Her plan? Her yes. brilliant, foolproof plan to trap a lover by saying she was pregnant?
Yeah, lay that out for us, Kate. What was Becky's huge plan to trick her former lover into what... Marrying her?
Becky is in her late 50s, and she wanted to pretend that she was pregnant so that this man would be with her. She wanted to get fake pregnancy tests and do like a whole baby announcement and everything. And yeah, she with a told card. Him yeah. that she was buying a place near his home and was about to come into some money, which probably would have been Keith's life insurance payout.
Yeah. Now, her brother would say, no, it was a family heirloom that was worth $19,000. She was planning on buying a house, bro.
Yeah. Okay?
It was not the ring. That's a bullshit.
That's not a lot of money.
She wanted to buy a house by her lover with the insurance money from her dead husband. Because she reached out to that guy, like, either the day of the murder or the day after. Like, her timing, like, she reached out to him after not talking to him for a while. And was like, guess what? It's on.
Yeah, it's weird that she fixated on this guy, considering that she was still banging all these other dudes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was she, and she, I mean, I didn't buy it that she was miserable for 31 years either.
No,
did you?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. This poor guy Keith was, by all accounts, a pretty cool dude, right? Like, the town liked him.
Yeah, his kids liked him.
He was fire chief at 32. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they thought, oh, well, maybe he meant to kill the Oklahoma City fire chief who had a very similar name.
Right.
His name was his name was Keith Bryant with a T.
Yes.
That's so weird and funny.
So he just, what did he look up in the phone book and just like misspelled it?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go shoot him.
Yeah. I liked that too because, I mean, look, I could see that kind of flub happening, I suppose, right? Like, I could see that maybe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is a hilarious red herring for this episode, though. Is like, there's a guy named Keith Bryant in Oklahoma City. Might be him. Sounds a little bit like it. That was kind of wild. This guy was at Oklahoma City, though. The bombing.
Yeah.
Right?
They did have to call in all the neighboring battalions.
Yeah.
I'm sure firemen from out of state even went to help because, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever something happens that's really big like that, firemen are the first to, like, travel hundreds of miles just to go help. Like, whenever there's wildfires, like in Canada, I know a lot of firemen go up and help.
He was fire chief at 32. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
McClizu, do you think that he got that job because he has such high profile in his past? He's got Oklahoma City bombing on his side.
No, I think, I mean, a lot of guys had Oklahoma City weeks and weeks and weeks with recovery efforts.
Do you sometimes wish that you had a high profile thing like that on your...
No.
Come on.
No.
Like a 9/11 or something?
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
Hey, got this guy, the chief job.
Because he went to Oklahoma City, they're like, that guy knows how to run a fire department. I want to look up how many guys are actually on Nichols Hills.
I'll do it. We are a career department with 14 full-time personnel.
Oh, boy.
Is that small?
Very.
Like smaller than Fort Wayne?
Yes. We have 380 full-time personnel.
So he was chief of pretty small peanuts.
Pretty much.
All right. That's funny. I mean, look, I'm still going to be impressed with this guy because, hey, RIP.
He didn't deserve it. Keith, you didn't deserve it.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, everybody knows that Becky did it. And what do you know? She gets arrested and she's got a trial. Now, what do you think about her defense attorney? He didn't have bad points, like if they really didn't check the gun for fingerprints and all this.
I don't think he was being fully accurate about any of that. So insisted that the cops had tunnel vision and never even tried to look for the shooter. They had other people in the neighborhood on the stand as witnesses saying that they saw a small truck driving erratically and that the cops never checked surveillance cameras at any intersections. And I'm betting that they did.
Yeah. You know what? That I'm so glad you brought that up. When that defense attorney said the surveillance cam thing, that told me they probably checked. One, the cops probably did look for that footage.
And there was nothing on it because there was no truck because it didn't happen.
Absolutely. Or they didn't check. This defense attorney did his own checking and then also realized there was nothing because there is no truck.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly that's why he's presenting that, because it's just like all he needs is that one little seed of reasonable doubt. And it's just going to be one of these things that he throws out there. Yeah. Ugh, that was so annoying.
And
that was so annoying.
For these eyewitnesses that saw trucks, it's Oklahoma. How many trucks do you think are driving around the neighborhood at any given moment? I am not buying it.
Itty bitty truck. I love that her brother was like, she's very detail oriented.
Sure.
Okay. And how'd she describe the truck? Itty bitty.
Itty bitty.
It was itty bitty.
Itty bitty.
Those are those details that bro recognizes in his sister.
You truly believe Becky is being truthful?
Yeah. I really do. She's not being panicky. She's trying to describe. She's trying to think through the process. She's very analytical.
Why do this brother, why do you think he believes his sister? I mean, because she did it.
I don't know. Why does anybody believe anybody? He loves her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I couldn't argue with him there. When AC asked him, like, do you still believe her and stuff? And he's like, yeah, she's my sister. I felt bad. Like, he was kind of defensive. Like, of course I still love her. Of course I believe her.
Are you disappointed in your sister?
Lord, no. I mean, I don't like some of the things that I heard, but she's my sister. I love her.
I felt for that. Yeah. But it is kind of like,
you don't have to. Dude. You can still love her and also know that she killed him.
Yeah,
both can be true. But she had motive and opportunity and a murder weapon registered in her name.
I mean, come on. Imagine a shooter goes, oh man, remember when I wanted to be a firefighter 4 years ago and I didn't get it? I'm going to go kill that guy that didn't hire me. Oh, his garage door's open. Oh, let's see if his car's unlocked. Let's see if there's a gun in this purse. Huzzah! There's a gun in the purse. I'm going to go shoot him.
Wow, what luck.
Yeah. Do-do-do. Ugh. Why would somebody who's intent on revenge go over to the house and go, well, I know his wife has a gun in the front seat of her Lumina.
He would bring one with him.
And he wouldn't leave it there.
Probably take it with him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Throw it in the water or something. Hey, speaking of.
Yeah.
So, McClizu here also does dives. You're fighting fires. You're also picking locks, but you're not just doing that. What else are you doing? You're diving.
Yeah, we're diving. I'm on the scuba team. Been on there for almost 2 years, and we've had a couple of evidence recoveries recently, and we actually found a gun.
See, these are the kind of scoops he gets. Okay. What'd you think of her trial luck?
She looked like my mom. Her hair was that puffy blonde triangle.
Mm-hmm.
She was not having her, you know, smoothing treatments and all of her fancy spa things.
Yeah.
She just looked...
nothing.
She looked her age. I'll say that.
Yep. She absolutely did.
Well, her kids took the stand. They were not saying anything favorable.
No.
We didn't really get to hear what they said, but I think there was a line about how they weren't defending her.
No, well, no, they were there on behalf of the prosecution. And this is hard to sell over a podcast, but don't you think when they were showing them on the stand, they looked a little standoffish?
Oh, yeah, like, they didn't want to be there.
They did not want to be there. And the second bro, I was like, dude, you need to cool it. Because I can read on your body right now that you don't want to be here and you want to answer in the wrong way, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be embarrassing when your mom's a hoe.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when all the details come out in trial about all of her hoeing. And these dudes are like, yes. Oh, mom, come on.
Mom, come on. Did you really have to send a picture? That guy that she hit on at the convention that was there with his fiance, she texted him pictures of her vagina and boobs.
Nice.
That guy got called to the stand and had to retell it. That guy just went to some real estate convention and is now in a murder trial because...
Did they even hook up?
No! No. Ugh. That's the thing. They didn't do a damn thing.
That's so bad. I mean, Becky, girl, you can't be sending those pics if nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
You send those pics, like, later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, obviously, Becky's found guilty. She's guilty as hell.
Mm-hmm.
She gets sent away for life, I think, with no parole. She tried the appeals process, and they said, not happening. She tried to say that they shouldn't have brought up her previous relationships and stuff. Like, it was bad for the jury to know that she slept around and stuff.
Right. But, again, that informs the motive.
Yeah, absolutely. So she's dumb. The judge told her so and said, no, go back to jail. Sorry. Appeal denied. One hilarious thing I noticed in the trial. So that 29-year-old, he was on the stand at the trial and the judge had to like stop things down or whatever and say, disregard that from the statement because they asked when they had sex. And the guy on the stand goes, when the defendant shot her husband. They were like, well, we're trying to determine that. So let's not say that.
That's so good. Yeah, you can strike that from the record, but the jury heard that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That'd be me, for real. If I was on the stand, I'd be doing all the things they tell me not to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think about how I wouldn't be good in interrogation because I'd lose my cool. I'd lose it even faster on the stand because you know the lawyers want that reaction. They want to say some dumb shit to get you really fired up.
So
right?
The idea is to start fired up and get them at their own game.
There you go.
If you wanted to convict her of being a slut, greedy slut, yeah.
I laughed so hard at greedy slut. I was going to text you, but I was like, nah, save it.
Yep. Absolutely. God, because the way he says it, he was like, he couldn't wait to say it. His whole delivery on greedy slut was top shelf. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I think that brings us to our lists. McClizzy, you got a list?
No, I should have made one.
Oh, you didn't prepare one. Ooh, okay. All right.
Kate. Kate's unnamed list. Did it happen in a small town, the kind of place where things like this just don't happen? Yes, it did.
You're damn right.
Mustang America, baby.
Yep.
Florida? No, Mustang America. military?
Yep.
No military in this one.
Nope. All right. Well, now it's time for Kurt's Kick-Ass List. Did anybody talk about it being like a movie? No. Did anybody talk about a Dateline episode? No. Was there any talk of Signs of a Struggle? Zero. We got a goose egg across the board. But yeah, I thought this was a pretty good ep. I thought it was pretty funny. I thought AC did a good job. There are some real characters. I mean, this Becky is like a... She's kind of like a Truth About Pam in the making. Like, yes. She's kind of like a light Pam, right?
Give her a few more years and we could have had another Pam.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, yeah, I think that's it. First time on a pod together, but not the first time you met. Y'all met at my wedding. Do you remember that?
Yeah. No.
No. Okay. Nobody does.
I don't. Sorry, Kate.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I'm Lester Holt.
I'm Kurt Money.
I'm a Klizu.
And I'm Kateline.
I'm Lester Holt. For all of us, I'm Lester Holt. Good night.
Greedy slut, yeah.